Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect. For the month of April, all our interviews with economic developers and site consultants will be solely focused on their reaction and response to the current coronavirus pandemic. We will be releasing these on a daily basis, and we hope you find value in each episode as we all fight for our communities. Ron Kitchens interviews Ann Peterson from Atlas Insight on today's episode. Enjoy their conversation.
Hey, Ann, so glad you're with us today. First, everybody's healthy and safe where you're at?
Yes, absolutely. Very fortunate.
So tell us, before we get started a little bit, what is the focus of your consulting and your side of the business?
So I'm with a firm, Atlas Insight LLC, and we are really a full service site selection, incentive negotiation, and then incentive compliance firm. And one of the things I think in the industry that we're really recognized for is just I think the strength and the depth that we have on our compliance team. Just really a leader in the industry, both from an execution standpoint and from a thought standpoint. So I'm very, very fortunate to have the compliance team that we do on my team.
So I think I'm glad you went with compliance, because the questions that, you know, we've been talking about, we'll get to those of what you're seeing, but I think it's going to be one of those things that our economic development community is going to, as are the primary employers, going to need help with on the compliance. I know, even in all this craziness, we got two notifications in the last week from governmental entities copying us that companies were out of compliance with their incentives. Well, no kidding. I mean, they just hadn't done the paperwork. But with all this craziness, it's going to be lots of renegotiation that needs to go on, I would think.
Yeah.
Are you all feeling that?
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, a large portion of our business is really based on compliance services. And, you know, right now we're right in the thick of compliance season. And so, like you mentioned, on our side, we've had many, many clients reach out to us to discuss go forward strategies, you know, should they find themselves in a position of not meeting headcount or investment commitments. And, you know, the one thing I think is interesting is I don't think any of us really thought that we would find ourselves in a position on a global level where everyone is taking a deep dive into the force majeure clauses in their performance agreements. So I think it will be interesting to see, you know, like you said, how states and communities respond to this, given that all companies are sort of going to be in the same boat, right? It's not just your one-off company who, for some reason, is falling short in their commitments. I think everyone is going to see either some shortfall or potential shortfall as we go forward, especially if they are right, you know, in the middle of their maintenance period.
Yeah, or simply can't. I mean, if you're an auto supplier and you simply have been shut out of the supply chain,
yeah,
it's pretty difficult, but I don't think any of us could have imagined, you know, what went on. And then you combine that with a lot of companies in our part of the world got hit with the auto strikes, which also shut down the supply chain. And it's going to be interesting times going forward.
Yeah.
What other effects are you seeing on your side of the business or with your clients because of COVID and all that entails?
So right now, you know, we are still very busy, you know, and I'm always always have been of the opinion that our industry always somewhat lags behind the reality of the current economic situation, you know, whatever that may be. But so I think that a lot of the work that we're still seeing may still be residual. So for example, site selection projects that were already in the works pre-pandemic or projects that, you know, just must move forward for one reason or another because they're not affected by large swings in the market. Our food and beverage manufacturers are definitely still moving forward with projects. And I think even for those manufacturers, if they're seeing a slowdown on the retail restaurant portion of their business, the direct and consumer side has more than made up for that. And so, you know, those projects, to the extent that they were in the works or, you know, we were doing high level analysis pre-pandemic, those projects are definitely still moving forward.
It's interesting. We're kind of on the economic development side, seeing a number of far outpacing our normal of European companies that are started brand new site searches in the last 2 weeks. And it's clear that they're thinking, are our supply chains disrupted? We better get to the US versus trying to operate from Europe or China in case, you know, borders don't open.
Yeah.
And it's, we had one who called yesterday to a Canadian, European company with a Canadian representative and wanted to come on a site visit. And we could figure out how to do that, but we couldn't get him back to Canada because it's a 2 week wait when yeah. you're in Canada. And we're like, we're not sure you really want to do this. We'll send you videos of the site. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. I think that's so interesting because, you know, when I look out and try and, you know, look in my crystal ball and see what's going to come, you know, on the other side of this, I think that projects are just going to pick right back up. There's going to be such a huge pent up demand. I think to your point, we're going to see a return of just true site selection projects because, I mean, just like we've been talking about, every company that is dependent on a global supply chain model is going to have to seriously rethink their strategy there. So, you know, I have hope that when we get on the other side of this, that things are going to be just as busy as they were before.
Yeah, end of the year. And we're going to be back to people being less patient. We have to have a building now, or we got to know that, you know, you can permit this thing in a week. And it's going to be tough. But I don't think we're going to be talking about labor shortages in general for a little while. Although we saw, you know, in the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, our companies in distribution hiring hundreds of workers and telling us they're permanent hires. These weren't seasonal. These weren't adapting to a demand. They think the model has changed so dramatically that is their new model.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, you know, from a workforce perspective, prior to this, I mean, it was just workforce, right? And I think it will be interesting because we saw such, I mean, almost an instant and dramatic swing in workforce and unemployment rates. And so I think, you know, something that might come out of this is that we will likely see a shift back to locations and regions that are, first of all, true low-cost leaders. And I think there was a shift away from that when the focus became, you know, so heavily on workforce and workforce availability. But I think at least for a period, once we emerge on the other side of this, talent may not necessarily be number one anymore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree.
You know, it's interesting what you say from a real estate perspective too, because you think about available space and there's just going to be I think, a complete glut of retail space available. And it'll be interesting to see how communities either repurpose or attempt to market and fill that space back up again.
Yeah, I think so too. And, I think, and it remains to be seen, you know, this idea that, well, you know, a lot of us have been there. Well, we could convert the retail maybe to back office if we too are focused on back office work, are saying, you know what, we think it's going to be slow to fill back office. And I think I just saw there are 1,200 current or former call centers available in the country. So this idea of turning, you know, your Macy's store into a big Amazon call center probably is not a reality.
Right.
So, you know, but, you know, but the sites, if you can switch the zoning from, you know, commercial retail to industrial, you may see some redevelopment of those sites. And it's certainly, it is going to be a good time for all of us to be thoughtful and creative.
Yes. Well, you know, and I guess all of this really depends on what happens with interest rates and whether or not we can keep inflation under control. So, I mean, those are sort of the big unknowns. But if, you know, all things sort of remain the same as they are now, I think there will be some really exciting redevelopment opportunities for sure.
Yeah, I do too. So if you could give advice to the economic development community on what to do now to help them prepare to be successful 9 months from now, what would your advice be?
So I think it's a couple things. I mean, first of all, I know that most of us are still busy. There's still work to be done, but there is a lot of downtime. I mean, everybody's at home. So, you know, it's all the things, all the advice that we've been giving economic developers for the last 5 years, you know, work on your website, work on your pipeline, keep building those relationships, you know, really understand who your partners in the community are, understand your programs, understand how you can really tailor your community's response to your prospects. And I know those are things that communities, that we say to communities all the time, and, you know, some do and have more time to do better than others. But I really think this is a time to sort of slow down and step back and really shape, I think, what you think your future, what you want your future to look like. So, I mean, for me personally, that's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to be more thoughtful about, you know, how I build my pipeline, how I'm reaching out to people, how I'm communicating. And, you know, in a time when we can't be together in person, I think communication is key. And so just keep communicating, keep building those relationships and keep reaching out.
It's awesome advice.
Even though we're all in isolation.
Yeah. The basics never really change, do they?
Yeah.
Before we go, if you were going to focus on one area in economic development where you think to become an expert on research, where you think the growth is going to be, was it food and beverage or healthcare or one of those things? Where should our listening audience begin to study to learn more? What areas should they learn more about? I asked that question poorly, but I just want to make sure that people use this time to burden themselves with knowledge. So are there particular sectors that you see kind of universal growth in?
So I've been saying this for a long time, but I think food and beverage is just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And that it's based on a couple things. I think people's tastes are changing. I think the way people consume is changing. So I just continue to see so much opportunity in that space. The other thing that I think is interesting is, you know, any sort of manufacturing that has been recently offshored or, you know, really is dependent again on a global supply chain model, I think a lot of that is going to start coming back. So, you know, obviously this is sort of forefront with what's going on, but the medical device community, I mean, to the extent that you have that talent and resources to attract some of that in your region, I definitely think that is one area where manufacturers are going to really have to be strategic about where those operations are and really consider what portion of that they can bring back to the U.S. The other thing I think is interesting about recent events is sort of the gig economy and how dependent we've become on that model and how that's going to change. You know, if we have rolling periods of having to shelter in place, you know, how do companies that are part of that gig economy sort of shift focus and remain viable during those periods? So that I think is a really interesting area and definitely not my specific area of expertise, but I do think there will be opportunity to kind of pivot some of the models that existing companies in that space have to whatever becomes our new normal. So those are three areas that I think are just really interesting.
I think the gig economy one is interesting. And I know Faye's given me our producer giving me the time to cut a look. But I think one of the really interesting things on the gig economy is we've had a number of our companies who we've been doing twice a week briefings with our 150 or so largest companies, very privately in small groups, and how many of them are going to start requiring gig employees or employees that could or do work from home to document the speed of their internet.
Yes.
Because they're finding a lot of people, it's great to say you're going to work from home, but if the kids next door are streaming videos and playing, you know, Minecraft all day, then can you really work? And what we're finding, something we never any of us thought about, but I bet you it's on the new real estate listing forms going forward.
Oh yeah, I mean if your lifeblood and work is dependent on an internet connection, and before you've only used it to stream Netflix on one TV, like yeah.
Yeah, I've got boosters all over my house. Our daughter is here, who normally works in New York. And Lynn is bored, and we have boosters all over the house that I'm still dropping. So
yes, yeah. Yep.
Well, Ann, I'm so grateful that you took the time to be with this. I'm so grateful you're my friend, and more than importantly, I'm grateful that you're healthy, and I look forward to being with you soon in real time. And I don't know if we're gonna be back to hugging or shaking hands.
Yeah,
where we're at on that, but I'm looking forward to having a glass iced tea with you.
I am as well. Take All care, Ron.
Thanks, Ann. Be safe.
Ann brought up some really interesting points to consider going forward. Every weekday, we are releasing interviews to help economic development professionals learn how other communities are responding to the COVID-19 impacts. America's Jobs Team is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.